when we're looking at hiring somebody, we're hiring them, and I'm not just talking about somebody out in the field. I'm even talking anybody in your company, whether it's an admin person, whether you're hiring somebody that's just going to go clean the shop. I don't give a shit. These things need to be considered. When we're looking at lead flow, let me just get crystal clear on what that is. Do we have enough opportunities that are not just right here now, but that we can see out in the future where we have at least some form of consistency of opportunities? When we go and get an opportunity and then we go and take the time to actually do the quote and land the deal, and then we have to go and plan the work, most cases, unless you're doing a service call, that in itself is a very, very small period of time. Hey, Rockstars, Andrew Houston here with another No Bullshit podcast for contractors. And today is especially for those, if you guys want to get some financial hacks and insights on, you know, that every contractor should have and know before you're hiring. All right. Look, growing a contracting business, I've said it before. If you're listening on this podcast and you just want to maintain being a one-man show, totally cool. That's no judgment. Okay. Go for it. I will say this. Just something to consider. Just always ask yourself this question. If something was to happen to me, what would happen to my business? And guys, this is directly related to building the team. Look, you cannot build a business by yourself as a contractor. You can, but the risk associated with it is massive, the stress, the hassles. There's things we got to consider when we're hiring, okay? Today, we're going to focus in on some of the financial aspects of that. But if you're just going to be you in the truck, then that's just something that you have to accept, that the risk that you are putting upon yourself and your family, providing for your family, is incredibly high. God forbid you get in a car accident or something happens. So this podcast is for those that see the value in building a team. And it doesn't mean that you're not really struggling in building the team, but that you at least recognize that, you know, hey man, if I could get if I could build an A team, again, that could be, you know, 5-6 people, all the way up to hundreds of different people, depending upon how big you want to grow your contracting business, then you're at the right place. So we're going to get focused here on what are some of these things that we got to seriously consider when we're growing our business. When's the right time to hire? You know, can I afford the hire? How do I go about, you know, forecasting, you know, my ability to hire? And like, what are some of these other aspects on the financial front that I got to seriously consider looking at before I go and hire somebody? And that's what we're going to get right down into the, you know, grassroots where the rubber meets the road today. And I'm going to break it down in really a simple process. So let me just share my little screen here. And I'm going to break this out again. If you're driving, you guys know, I like to use my iPad to give a visual representation of what it is that we're covering off. And the reason for that is because, hey, as a fellow contractor, that's called modalities. It's called VAK, VAC, which is you're either a visual person, an auditory person, a kinetic person. You're actually a combination of all those. But most contractors are very heavily kinesthetic, where they learn by touching and they learn by seeing. Okay, so that's who I am. And hopefully this helps you guys. So when we're looking at this, there's really four key things that feed each other. I know my circles aren't the best and they overlap, all right? There's lead flow, there's deal flow, lots of flows, workflow, and the old profits and cash, what? Yeah, no surprise, flow. This is a series of things that we have to seriously consider when we're hiring somebody. You might be like, what does lead flow have to do or deal flow or workflow? And what even are these things? Well, guys, when we're looking at hiring somebody, we're hiring them. And I'm not just talking about somebody out in the field. I'm even talking anybody in your company, whether it's an admin person, whether you're hiring somebody that's just going to go clean the shop. I don't give a shit. These things need to be considered. When we're looking at lead flow, let me just get crystal clear on what that is. Do we have enough opportunities that are not just right here now, but that we can see out in the future where we have at least some form of consistency of opportunities? That can lead to what? Deal flow. That's our ability to turn those opportunities, those leads into actually deals. So that means landing them. And just because you land a job that you quote, doesn't mean the job hasn't started. You guys know that, right? It could start next week, next month, 2 months from now. And that comes to workflow. Do we have enough work for this person to actually give to this person? And then that should be feeding our profits and cash flow. So in breaking this down even further, you want to make sure that you're tracking, guys. And again, so many people go, Andrew, it almost sounds like you're talking about like a sales process. Yeah, I am talking about a sales process. It's actually a hiring process from a financial perspective. Guys, if too many people go out and they hire somebody and they're crazy busy right now, okay? So they've got all this workflow, got all this work that they got to do. And then guess what happens? Yeah, they might be having enough profits and enough cash flow in this period of time. And let's say that that period of time is only maybe 1 month. And then guess what happens? As you guys know, when we go and get an opportunity and then we go and take the time to actually do the quote and land the deal, and then we have to go and plan the work, most cases, unless you're doing a service call, that in itself is a very, very, very small period of time. But most contractors, they don't just do service work 100%. They do service work, small, medium, larger jobs. And what happens though is in the moment right here, everything was roses, but they never looked back to ask the question, do we have consistent lead flow that gives us enough runway of deal flow that we are beyond this month? So what ends up happening, just to be clear, is we finish these jobs. Hopefully we finish them profitably. That's a whole nother conversation. Hopefully we quote them profitably, all the rest of that. Cash is coming in. And then guess what? Things dry up. Things start to dry up around here. And then they dry up and dry up and dry up. And next thing you know, we don't have enough work. So one of the first things I want you to consider is what we teach at Profit for Contractors, just a couple of things for you guys to think about. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's still talking about the sales process. Yes, I am, guys, because of the points that I've been making to you, is that we need to be able to forecast the growth of the company, really, in essence, to be able to know that we can forecast whether or not it's viable to hire this person. Now, there's lots of different ways around what work we're going to be giving this person, okay? We could be delegating, which is the ideal thing. A lot of the things that you were doing in the field, working on the tools or running the jobs to this person that we're hiring or the people that we're hiring. So delegation is huge, but we still need to make sure that we are filling the pipe in a controlled, forecasted way. And it's not going to be perfect, all right? But we need to at least know what the trend is. Example. You go out and say, you don't even know looking at your financials that you forget because you're so busy in December. And one of the slowest times of the year for you, let's say, is January. Let's say it's February. And you go and hire this person and he's fucking, you spend tons of time putting ads out there and interviewing the people. Hopefully you got a hiring process. If you don't, we can talk about that in another podcast. Anyways, you go through all this work, you land this person, you finally find this person. And then come to January, it's like, oh shit, I don't have enough work for this person. You didn't think it through. Now this person is like, fucking, I'm out of here. Cause they're not, you know what I mean? They're not going to stick around if they're not getting paid and there's no work. And now you end up going through this vicious cycle and it never stops. So first things first, guys, make sure you have enough lead flow, deal flow, workflow, and profits and cash flow. And a couple of quick tricks on this, not sort of tricks, but little strategies. We teach our clients a couple of the key easy boards that we have them use. I'm talking whiteboards, or you can use a spreadsheet, whatever, but start off with is super simple as whiteboards is you want to have what's called a sales board and you want to have what's called a progress to profit board. Okay. Cold's Notes version of those. I did a podcast on each of these, but Cold's Notes version of these is this sales board contains what? It contains the lead flow and deal flow information. Progress to profit board contains the workflow and profits and cash flow information. And that then allows us to get a better gauge of, do we have enough like I said, lead flow, deal flow, workflow, and profits and cash flow before we hire this person. So that's one aspect that I want you guys to think about from a financial perspective. The other aspect of this, okay, so that's aspect number one. We're going to just do one more, is what is the ROI of the hire? And when we look at the ROI of the hire, it's either going to be due to improving, creating some sort of aspect of delegation. It's going to be some sort of aspect of elimination. Talk about that in a second. It's going to be another aspect or potential aspect of some sort of systemization, or it's going to be something that has to do with something that we're going to keep and actually do more of. When we're looking at this, and I'm thinking about you as a business owner, when you go to hire a person, let's say that we are hiring, as an example, I'll pick two different roles. One will be an installer. The other one I'll pick is an administrative person. Okay, so we have this admin and we have the installer. We can call that installer, we can call it the tech, we can call it tradesperson, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Okay. So when you go to hire this person, you want to really ask yourself about the ROI. What are some of the things that you can delegate? Let's say it's the admin person. Let's say it's invoicing. Let's say it could be the admin person goes and picks up checks. It could be the admin person orders material. The admin person, you know, does some of the bookkeeping. The admin person does like aspects around administrative stuff, which, no offense, guys, administrator will probably cost you in the range of between about $25 to $35 max for an admin person. If you go with a VA, like overseas, you can probably get one, you know, and we help our clients with that as well. You can probably get one, I'm not shitting you, between $10 and $15. And we're talking a really good admin. So you got to ask yourself, what are some of the things that you're doing right now that are administrative that you could delegate? And what could you, right? Get ready. What could you replace that with? So if you're getting rid of a whole bunch of $20 an hour, $35 an hour tasks that you could pay somebody for, what are some things that you can keep or do more of, or actually, you know, maybe start doing? Okay. Maybe keep / start. That's going to be higher value. Could you quote more? Run it back to here. Could you generate more lead flow? Could you work on more of, you know, landing more jobs, or even delegating and creating a sales system to actually land more, to get more deal flow? Could you spend more time to make sure that the work that gets done is actually more what? Profitable, that it generates more cash flow. Like, guys, I'm telling you right now, as a CEO of a contracting business, you should eventually get to a stage, I'm not shitting you, where you are earning thousands of dollars, potentially tens of thousands of dollars per hour as the CEO. He's like, what the fuck? I go, yes, guys. I said in my previous podcast I just did, I was talking about aspects of value briefly. And put this into perspective. Imagine if it took you 2 hours to go land a $30,000 job. I don't care if it took you 4 hours, but let's use 4 hours. It took you 4 hours to, you know, talk to the prospect, go out to their place, quote the job, meet them a couple of times. Yet it took you 4 hours, okay, to do all that. You landed the job. It's a $30,000 job. Let's say you made 20 points on that. That's $6,000. Follow me, right? Everybody follow me, okay? That's $6,000 that you made over the span of like 4 hours in profit. So what are you worth per hour if that was the case? And I'm sure that's actually happened to you. You're worth, like, guys, thousands of dollars an hour. Like, I think it'd be like what? Something like $1,500 or something an hour? Yeah, it'd be $1,500 an hour in profits that you're worth. Should you keep, you know, does that incentivize you enough? I hope it does, to go and delegate some of these administrative tasks if you haven't done it already. So we got to look at the value, right? What are some of the things that we're going to be able to eliminate, right? We're going to be able to stop doing the invoicing. We're going to stop having to do the accounts payable, the accounts receivable, and the list goes on and on, okay? And then when we hire these people, what are some of the things these people can do to help systemize things? I'm going to fucking tell you right now, an administrator is going to be way better at systemizing administrative things than freaking you are. We suck at doing administrative tasks as a CEO. Hopefully you get where I'm going with this, guys. Just this in itself if you add it up, hiring an admin person, if done properly, should equate easily within some form of range of like a positive one to maybe up to even more multi thousands of dollars per hour for you, because you're able to delegate and eliminate and systemize and do more of the things and start doing more of the things that you need to do. The same thing we look at for an installer. Yeah, you can do it maybe better than the guy because you're like a Gretzky of the trade, but that's not going to make you money. You got four guys working for you. Say you're charging out, you know, $100 an hour. And let's just say roughly, you know, it costs you to pay those guys an overhead and everything else. Let's just say for easy, and maybe it's going to be plus or minus, but let's just say for easy math, you're making $50 an hour on these guys. Think about that. In the span of a week, and even taking one step back, you're making now like $200 an hour. And in all honesty, that money is being made without you having to do the work. At the end of a week on a 40-hour work week, you could be making between eight, you know, just with those four guys, $8,000 to $10,000, if not more, in profit without you having to do the work. And you think about this, right? What's that value to you? It's massive, guys. This is where real champion seal business owners shift their mindset when it comes to hiring somebody. So when you're looking at hiring somebody, guys, these are the two key things I want you to think about. Lead flow, deal flow, workflow, profits, and cash flow, okay? Do you have enough of it? If you do, awesome. Then it makes sense, especially combined with the ROI aspect that we just covered off, to go and hire that person. Now, what if you don't? What if you're maybe it's like, it's not an absolute I don't, but like you're a little bit worried. Maybe you've only got enough work in the horizon and the lead flow is okay, but it's not great. Well, then guess what we're going to do? We're going to focus on strategies to increase that lead flow. Okay. We're going to take the aspect of hiring that person that frees up more time for you so that you can focus in more on the things that are going to generate more lead flow. And by the way, a little bit of a sidetrack here. I would never have you focus in on lead flow right away. The first thing I would look at is I'd look at your deal flow. How many times, man, do we talk to contractors and they're like, man, I don't have enough work. I need more leads. And I go, well, how many leads you got right now? Well, I don't know. Well, can you take a look? Like, how many jobs have you quoted recently and how many jobs do you need to quote? Oh, I got about 20. Okay, well, what's your quote to win ratio? I'm like, what? Well, how many jobs are you landing? Well, I don't know. Then we find out they're only landing like 20, 30% of those jobs. And the reason is because they're running around with their freaking heads cut off doing all this shit. And when we get them to focus in on next, you know, they go from a 20% conversion rate to a 50, 60, 70% conversion rate. And it turns out they had enough leads to get enough deal flow. You follow me, guys? All right. So that's the aspects around the financial things that you got to consider when we're looking at hiring somebody. Okay. There's definitely the, you know, the financial aspects of like, how much are they going to cost you? What's the overhead? You know, what's their real cost to you? So that you can compare to what the real ROI is. But these are things that, guys, in simple terms, if you get this right and you lay this out, the best thing you could do is grow a team. But before you do that, be financially smart about it. So I'm Andrew Houston with another No Bullshit Podcast. Hopefully that helped you guys. Again, you know, I'm here with a new podcast episode every Wednesday. Tune in and guys, take these steps, you know, take your business to the next level for next year and beyond. These are principles that when you apply them, they stick, they work, they've been proven, they've been tested. Anyways, I'll see you on the flip. Okay. And that's it. See you in the next podcast. Ciao.
Hey, rock stars. Thank you for watching the No Bullshit Podcast for Contractors. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe button. And if you're serious about growing and need help, click on the link below. Myself and my team would love to help and give you the necessary tools so you can take your contracting business to the next level. And remember, dominate, delegate, and deliver.